As always, he'll be behind the mic, Oregon State paying a visit to Matt Knight Arena. He's the voice of Beaver baseball, football, basketball. Catch him with John Warren noon to 2 on the Joe Beaver Show, 1240 Joe Radio. The handle to follow on Twitter is at MEPOSU. Mr. Parker, my friend, how are you?
Steve, thanks for that thorough introduction. I appreciate it.
How are things going?
Well, they're going okay. You know, I was enjoying, as I listened to you a lot, as I've told you many times, the signal comes in nice and strong up the road here in the Mid-Valley in Corvallis. So out and about today, I've been listening off and on. And the point you just made with Coach McKinnon, it sounds like you've got the full text of the conversation coming later. But that's a very astute point and underrated when it comes to defense. And Wayne Tinkle, part of the many frustrations for the Beavers, and I know you've read and researched and you have a feel for, and it's been a rough go, but as much as, you know, the Beavers are having trouble scoring the ball, the biggest thing, the biggest downfall in a sense has been the lack of ability to play the multiple defenses and defenses that change within a possession, and a lot of the subtle and somewhat complex things that Wayne has brought defensively in his first 2 years. With the injuries, with the inexperience, he's not able to do some of those same things. And in the second half, while it's nice to have the offense in front of you to help kind of guide that, I think at times a little bit of that concentration is lost in the second half when the Beavers have been in games pretty late in a lot of contexts this year, close late, but not able to close. And I think part of that, this team needs a lot of kind of hands-on direction from the bench. And defensively, I've seen them lose their way a little bit down the stretch.
Hey, Mike, I kind of have a follow-up to that, because that loss to Washington the other day was kind of ugly in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Obviously, it was a blowout, but the aftermath, Drew Eubanks told the Oregonian that the team's effort hasn't been there. Coach Tinkle said the team wasn't tough or aggressive. Obviously, kind of frustration can lead to losing focus in all aspects of any sport, but you've seen the games. Was Coach just trying to light a fire, or has the effort not been there as well?
That's a great question, Alex, and it's a tough one, because Coach Tinkle, I know, I mean, this guy, I don't think I have to convince you, he's done a tremendous job here. What he did in that first season with that group to go 17-14, to get the wins that he had at home, the unbeaten streak of 14 straight, and winning 8 games in conference was remarkable, off the charts. Last year, ending a 26-year drought. And his work at Montana speaks for itself. So I'm not here to, you know, Coach Tinkle doesn't need me or anyone else to make a case for him, even in the midst of a very frustrating season, that he's doing a great job. But I can see your question is birthed in his own, the player's own. Eubanks is a guy that plays hard, relentless motor, and he's played a couple of games, nearly 40 minutes this year. So Drew is not he's a guy that can speak about needing everybody to give that same kind of effort. And Coach Tinkle was candid enough on the postgame show in Seattle after that game that you allude to say, hey, you know, we have a disconnect now when it comes to not so much guys thinking that they don't need to play hard, but understanding what playing hard for 40 minutes means, if that makes any sense. It's not as though he says they've got guys that are constitutionally unwilling, but they haven't quite understood what it takes. And Wayne says that the fine line is, a team that's banged up, such as this team is, and has had some close losses and may have some fragility in all of that, the balance between challenging them, hey, you got to play harder, to also putting your arm around them and say, hey, you guys can win games, you know, just keep staying the course, keep believing in what you're doing. So this week, I think more than anything else, as much as he wants to tactically prepare for a great Oregon team, I think he's just trying to find the right balance between practicing in a way that some of those injured bodies can get healthier and at the same time learn what it means and what kind of effort it takes to win a game in this league.
Talking with Mike Parker, the voice of the Beavs. I know a lot of attention has been on the injury to, obviously, Trace, and we've been referring to it as the Beavers Murphy's Law season. But the big kid, Shay Enjai, Dane Muller, just two guys. I know Muller's missed the last 2 games. Shay has, I think he's only played 9 games. Is there any update or status on them health-wise as to maybe when they can come back and offer some help?
Mueller, who has, as you're right, Steve, he's missed the last two and three out of the last five games. He will play in the Civil War tomorrow. So he's practicing, and he had a concussion. He's cleared protocol. He's practicing and playing well. So I expect Dane to be able to make a contribution tomorrow. Shay Enjai, less likely. He certainly won't play tomorrow, and he's on a day-to-day basis. But I'm not real optimistic we're going to see the big fella. Now, Shay, it's not as though he provides that you're losing huge productivity with him, but you are losing a huge body presence inside at 7 foot and an experienced player that has a pretty good feel for some of the defenses and can be a rim protector, and Coach Tinkle's missing that. So Shay being out, and you allude to Trace. Trace is very disappointed. It was disappointing news to him to get the CT scan results and be told, again, not quite ready yet, son. And, you know, that's a hard one. Trace is ultra-competitive, and to have to sit, again, is certainly hurtful to him. And I'm not sure. It's a day-to-day thing with him, and I'm not sure when we're going to see him play again. But the fact that with a team that was already going to be down in the absence of Gary Payton II and the transfers of Derek Bruce, Malcolm Duvivier, who, as you guys know, was a tough-minded defender, not available this year. It has been a Murphy's Law kind of season, and the fact that Stephen Thompson Jr. and Trace Tinkle have played one game together pretty much spells the story of this season to the viewers.
You know, you mentioned GP2. I'm curious about that because coming into the season, so much good from last year, made the tournament for the first time in 26 years, but then he was going to be gone, but you had Trace Tinkle coming back, some good pieces still around. I'm curious what the expectations were coming into this year, that momentum that they took. What was kind of the vibe around the program?
Yeah, I think in the immediate aftermath of losing in the tournament, and, you know, I remember people used to grouse about Ralph Miller losing in the tournament. People were less grousing about that when there was no loss in the tournament we had over the past quarter century. So, you know, it was just kind of nice to get back in there and have a chance to lose a game in the NCAA tournament. But right after that, you guys may remember how well Derek Bruce was playing down the stretch of the season in the Pac-12 tournament. The guy suddenly, out of nowhere, it seemed to become a scoring force. So the thought that, hey, you've got Derek Bruce coming back, a veteran guard, and Malcolm Duvivier, Stephen Thompson Jr. certainly looked like a guy that would continue to improve, and he has, even though in this year it's hard to kind of see that. He has. Ja'Cory McLaughlin, you'll see the great flashes of potential that Ja'Cory has to be a big-time player in this league in the game tomorrow night at Matthew Knight. But those pieces all have not been together. And then throw in Thompson missing six games, Trace's injury. Whatever optimism there was, and I think there was a sense, I saw one of the preseason magazines pick the Beavers to make the field of 64 again, even with all of the losses. And that's very unlikely to happen unless they run the table in Vegas. So, you know, I don't know, Alex. It's a good question. There was certainly no expectation that there would be a non-conference losing record for the first time in over 20 years and that they would be winless at this point in the league.
We're talking with the voice of the Beavs, Mike Parker. You know, we've talked about some of the bad and the ugly, but while it opens the door for guys who might not have had an immediate opportunity, one of the recruiting scores was a four-star from Gig Harbor, Ja'Cory McLaughlin, a big guard, pretty well-rounded game. So let's talk about some encouraging things. What kind of game does he have, and what kind of impact is he having as a freshman?
Very good offensive game, a guy that can score in a variety of ways. And he is probably, even though, you know, he's made at least one 3 in 10 straight games, which is the longest on the team. He slumped a little bit lately, shooting 35% over his last four games, but he's still shooting 42% from deep, and he can score at the rim. He's got a good offhand. I mean, the guy, I think, is going to be a force offensively in his career. The thing that, and where we started was, Steve, on the defensive end, this is where he has some work to do there. I'll just say that. And it's not out of a lack of desire to get better defensively, but Coach Tinkle's defenses and the mix of zone and the 2-3 and the 1-3-1 and the man-to-man and changing defenses within possessions that requires, you know, a commitment and a pretty high level of experience, I think, in those defenses. That's where the Beavs the last couple of years have bothered teams and gotten them off their stride, I think, more than anything else. And GP2 was a big part of it, obviously, as a disruptive force in the conference's defensive player of the year 2 years in a row. You lose him, you're going to drop off. But his loss and the loss of the other experienced guards and the injuries have put a lot of pressure on Jacory and others to be better defensively than they've shown so far. But the guy can score, and I think the defense is going to come along, but I know that that's been a bit of a frustrating thing for J-Rock himself and for Coach Tinkle.
You know, this being Civil War week, I think we'd be crazy to kind of avoid the elephant in the room and what happened in Reser this year. Seemed like a lot of teams were getting in their licks on the Ducks this year, making up for a lot of blowouts, a lot of bad feelings. Oregon State, no different. It was really telling because Mark Helfrich wins four games, loses the Civil War, loses his job. Gary Anderson wins four games, wins the Civil War, and gets an extension. That win for the Beavs, it really was a huge deal, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, Alex, no doubt. And, you know, no team had ever gone longer than 8 wins in a row in the great rivalry. And so I'm glad that that number still holds. The Beavers got 8, Oregon's done it twice. Nobody's ever been able to win more than 8 in a row in it. And it was big. It was a big deal. There's a lot of momentum and a lot of excitement about what Gary's done in two years and what he's doing in recruiting. So, yes, that was a big win, and I think just the way things have gone in the offseason and some of the recruiting scores the Beavers have made, I think Gary's doing a heck of a job. And that win, if he'd lost the Civil War, I don't think that would have invalidated completely what he's done, but I think it underscored it and gives a lot of enthusiasm within Beaver Nation now. It's ramping up. And I think basketball, most of our fans up here, you know, don't have high expectations for tomorrow's game to necessarily be a repeat of football and a Beaver victory per se.
Right.
But I do think there's still a great deal of belief in, confidence in, and as well there should be in what Coach Tinkle's doing. And I think both baseball programs for both schools are going to be very good this year. Pat Casey's got a consensus top 10 team. So there's a lot of good stuff going on. I like the hire of Scott Barnes, the AD out of Pitt. He comes highly recommended. So these are good times, but there's nothing like a Civil War victory in football to kind of put your arms around and make everybody feel pretty good.
Exclamation point on that, yeah.
Yeah, Mike, final thought here, and you mentioned expectations for tomorrow. You're around the players and the coaches, and obviously you pay attention with your own observation. So what are the guys saying about maybe the challenge tomorrow night against not only their arch rival, but they're playing an Oregon team that's healthy now and really clicking? What's kind of the buzz?
I agree, Steve. I mean, I think Oregon will win the league, and I think there's a reason that, you know, they were picked to do so, and a reason that they were picked as highly as they were. I mean, Blue Ribbon in the great preseason annual had them number 2 in the country going in, and you know, I think they're that good and getting healthy. For me, the biggest thing with them is the fact that in the last 3 games they've had a different player score 28 or more is ridiculous.
Yep.
To have that kind of resourcefulness in the lineup and shot blockers and leaders and talented players. So on that front, it looks like a big mismatch on paper. However, I do think Wayne Tinkle's an outstanding coach, and there's nothing like a Civil War game to kind of – you remember, I know it's different circumstances, and the team the Beavers are about to play is not the team that they beat years back. But you remember, Steve, when the Beavers played Seattle University here and lost at home at Gill 99-48 to Seattle U. Worst loss in the history of the program. Their next game was at Mack Court, and they went down and beat. I know Ernie was on kind of on the last days, the last legs of the regime, but still the Beavers were able to rally up unexpectedly and go down and win. And I think that Coach Tinkle and the players, I know they believe that if they execute a game plan, stay with it, listen to the coaches, execute at both ends of the court, slow the tempo down. Wayne's made no secret of that. They cannot run with Oregon. They've got to take care of the basketball and get good shots. And I think it has a chance to be more interesting as our friend Lee Corso would say, closer than the expert.
Nice. Awesome stuff as always. Again, catch him with John Warren, noon to 2 on the Joe Beaver Show, 1240 Joe Radio to the North. He is the voice of the Beavers. It's always great catching up, Mike. We greatly appreciate your time, and we look forward to chatting again soon.
Thanks, Mike.
And Steve, I hope to see you, but may I ask you one question? As a kid growing up, yesterday we talked a lot about the three most evil people of the 20th century, according to Brooklynites, Hitler, Stalin, and O'Malley, and not necessarily in that order. I'm wondering, you know, we were talking about franchise relocation, and I'm going to listen to you. Did you grow up with any sense? I know that you're not, you know, you weren't in Brooklyn, you weren't a Dodger fan and all of that, but are you aware enough to know that the hatred towards Walter O'Malley was still alive, at least among some of your people back then as you were growing up?
I have a good friend whose family is from Brooklyn and two relatives that I witnessed, if the name O'Malley was said, I'm talking when I was very young, they would spit on the floor and curse his grave. How's that sound?
Okay, that sounds about right then, but that's a disrespect to the fine character actor Pat O'Malley. It wasn't Pat's fault. Hey, anyway, thanks guys for having me on. See you.
Thanks, Mike.
Take care, Mike.